As everyone knows, it visits peaceful regions, bringing them gifts of kindness and sweet blessings. Known as a bringer of blessings, it's been depicted on good luck charms since ancient time.
Hey there, Pokemon trainers. Welcome back to another episode of Dragon Dance, a Pokemon podcast. This is the podcast where we normally talk about Pokemon type combinations, when they first appeared, all the Pokemon with that set type combination, and how they stacked up on the competitive side of things. I am one half of your host, Santiago, and with me, as always, is the lovely Madeline. Hi, Madeline.
I'm the other negative 9/8 part of this podcast.
How's it going, Madeline?
It's going good. It is Saturday, and we had a good day because what's going on in Pokemon Go right now?
Well, since the last time we talked, it was, what, Valentine's Day? Mm-hmm. And they introduced Enamorous in Elite Raids, right?
Right. And yeah. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to do one because
you had school. And I had work because it was Wednesday.
Yeah. And if you don't know, the Elite Raids only show up at, like, 11, 3, and 5 or something.
Yeah.
I don't think those are the right hours, but it turns up at 3 parts of the day.
Right.
And you can only local raid them. And yeah, you miss those 3 waves. Sorry.
You're going to have to wait. We're going to have to wait until it comes out in regular 5-star raids, but
I'm not too bummed. That is not my favorite of the genies, so.
Same. I'm not the biggest fan of Enamorous, but it is really, really rare, especially in Legends Arceus. Mm-hmm. You can only catch one, and it's really difficult to even get there, so it's not like I can, like, restart.
So it'd be good to put into Halm or something.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to do, but, you know, whatever. I'll just wait until it comes out into regular 5-star raids.
Hmm. Interesting. I didn't know about its availability issues. So that actually does make it more appealing to raid.
I actually have one more thing I would like to share. So, obviously by the time you're listening to this, it has already passed. But between Valentine's and today, which is Sinnagotor.
It was President's Day.
No. I mean, yes, but that's not the important part. It was actually Madeline's birthday. Woo-hoo!
Allegedly.
Happy belated birthday, Madeline.
Thank you so much, Santiago. I am not a year older because I think 85 is a good age to stop.
Yeah, yeah. You know what?
So
yeah.
I've refused to age anymore.
It's the anniversary of your 85th birthday, but
That's a great way to put it.
But you won't ever age past 85.
No, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Thank you. That's the best birthday gift you could have given me.
Any life updates or anything you'd like to share?
Well, I celebrate the anniversary of my 85th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. It's been a busy month, but nothing, like, worthwhile to share. Just personally busy.
I gotcha. So, we're recording this on the Saturday, the weekend of Sinnagotor. So, we've already played day one of Sinnagotor, and it was a lot of I had fun.
It was good. I had fun, and I actually went out in two parts because this morning I went out to walk my dog while Santiago was taking a practice exam. So I played for about 2 hours out there doing routes and catching Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And then it probably wasn't 2 hours.
Yeah, it was 2 hours. Well,
it was. Yeah. But and then I came back. Santiago and I went to go vote in our local election, and then we played some more. So I had fun both times, and it's been a good event to me so far.
Mm-hmm.
As far as shinies, womp womp.
Bro, I have atrocious shiny luck.
I have, Santiago got
one
shiny today.
Granted.
And I played for an additional 2 hours longer than him, and now I have two. So
okay.
We both did pretty terribly.
Granted, I did not play the whole day. Like you said, you played a whole 2 hours more than I did.
Yeah, and I have one more shiny to show for it.
Yeah, and but the thing is that we were also in downtown, in our downtown city.
And we did a bunch of raids as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like the spawns were lacking. We had incense.
We live in a decently sized city, and we went to the actual downtown where we saw a ton of spawns and everything.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I definitely know people who went more hard than me, but like the rate of shiny to catch is just
at least
not
for
mapping
us.
For
no,
us.
No.
But not we do complaining, have but
I'm complaining. I'm complaining.
To put it this way, we spent a large portion of our playtime doing raids, both remotely and locally, and By the end of the day, we still weren't sure if you could get a shiny Dialga or Palkia from the Origin Form raids.
I still don't know if you can. Can you?
You can.
Really?
We just never even saw this.
Jesus. But so, yeah.
That's okay. We still had a good time. We walked around. We caught some cool Pokemon.
It was a little chilly at times, and it was sprinkling a little bit, but that didn't really... Well, it almost deterred me from wanting to walk outside. But you were insistent on getting yourself a treat while we walked through downtown.
You need ice cream when it's cold and rainy, don't you?
No, just in our downtown area, there's this local ice cream shop that Madeline really likes to go to.
They're the only place locally that has vegan soft serve, and I love that.
Yeah, that's true, that's true. But yeah, so I am, first of all, I'm not that big into sweets.
It's his biggest flaw.
Yeah, and even then, if I do have sweets, I want it to match whatever I want it to... What's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to eat a cold sweet when it's already cold outside. Does that make sense? Or a hot treat when it's hot outside. Does that make sense?
In theory, but I don't share the same sentiment.
Okay, whatever. Well, it was a little chilly, but
become
we still...
Become ungovernable, Santiago. But as the kids say.
But we still went out, played Sinnotaur, and it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And, like, we're not just whining about our shiny. Like, some of the spawns were cool. Honestly, spawns were mid, and the... I didn't have fun. I enjoyed walking around, but the spawns were mid so far.
Mm-hmm.
When we tried to do any party challenge, it was always, like, catch 10 steel or catch 10 rock or whatever, and it was hard to do that because it just wasn't in the right biome for us, or, like, we weren't finding these... And the shinies weren't boosted. Not a lot of shinies were boosted during this event. And I don't know. The research was not good either. So, you know, I'm not usually a big complainer about Pokemon Go events, but this one just really fell flat of my expectations.
I can see what you're saying. I hope tomorrow's better. I hope my shiny rate is a little bit better than today, but I am doubtful that I'm going to get like 20 shinies like some of our friends. Some of our friends are just really, really lucky.
Yeah, no,
and just have insanely cracked luck.
Cracked.
It's cracked.
Yeah, no, but I will say two things I did enjoy about the event was A, the graphics. I really like the backgrounds for each of the hours.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the purple background. And secondly, the new moves, or the new effects, I guess, that came with the Origin Palkia and Origin Dialga are actually really cool. So if you don't know the Dialga's special move, you can spend like 5,000 Stardust and 5 Candy to pause timers for like 12 minutes. It's a time distortion.
Mm-hmm.
Any incense you have, if it's Daily Adventure incense or regular incense, it will pause the timer for 12 mm-hmm. minutes, as well as Lucky Eggs and Star Pieces.
Yeah, and if you do the Palkia one, you have an increased...
Space distortion.
Yeah, so you have, like, a longer range to catch Pokemon, spin stops, and hit gyms and stuff like that. So
you
that
can
was
catch
neat.
Pokemon that are farther away from you than you could regularly catch without moving.
Yeah. But yeah, here's...
So those are cool, and a mechanism like this hasn't really been introduced into the game thus far, so it's interesting to see, and I like how it's working so far.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely. Anyways, hopefully our day tomorrow is a lot better.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to sound like a whiner. I had fun, but as far as event expectations...
It wasn't the best event.
It wasn't a great event.
Yeah.
The previous tours have been better.
I think my favorite one was probably Sinnotour, and then before that...
This one?
No, sorry, not Sinnotour, I meant Hoenntor.
Yeah.
Hoenntor, my B.
Yeah. Another thing about that is a lot of Sinnoh Pokemon already had their shinies released previously.
Mm-hmm.
So the amount of new shinies they could introduce with this event was very limited.
Oh, crap. You know what I just thought about?
What?
For the Sinnotour, aren't their regionals supposed to be available to everybody?
Yeah, well, I caught a couple of Blue Shellos today, did you not?
I did. But have you seen a Pachirisu?
No, I don't know if that's supposed to be.
Oh, man.
I'm not sure that's part of the event. I think Santiago's making lies up over here.
No, I'm not making lies up. Pachirisu is Gen 4, and I know
No, I believe you. I just don't think regionals like that were supposed to.
Oh, okay, then never mind.
I think it was like the regionals that are like split across the world swapped.
Oh.
So not like, you know, not like the exclusive regions, not like Mr. Mime and...
Okay. Enough about Sinnotour, enough about all of our updates. Let's get on with the episode. So, Madeline, can you take a guess as to what we'll be covering today?
Well, We're 10 minutes in, and I just remembered that we are doing a fusion episode. So let's get, yeah, you're right. Let's get into that. We are doing fairy flying.
Yes, and can you tell me why we're doing fairy flying this episode?
Because it is February. It is the month of love.
Yeah, and I think we talked about this one time, but you said that fairy flying just reminds you of Cupid or something like that.
It does. Why yeah. wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If Cupid was a Pokemon,
I feel like we should have a Cupid-type Pokemon.
I agree. Or
like a cherub, you know, like a baby, flying baby.
Yeah, it could be like a baby animal, like a baby cat or something.
Oh.
A kitten, if you will.
Okay, okay. I mean, we have like things like a stuffed animal in Stuffle and stuff like that. Why can't we have like a stuffed doll that flies and shoots arrows or something?
Yes, taxidermied. No, maybe not that kind of stuff.
No, not that stuffed. Okay, so before we get into the actual Pokemon, Madeline, can you please get us hit us with those weaknesses and resistance for the fairy flying type?
Yeah, let me just say though, a taxidermied Pokemon would be pretty dark.
It'd be very dark, but at the same
time, it's not like they've ever shied away from
right. That's exactly what I'm saying.
So I'm just like,
some of their Pokedexes are already like hella dark.
I hope I haven't inspired any like Pokemon designers over there, because that sounds too dark for me.
They're like, taxidermy.
Write
say
that down.
Less. Write that down.
Calling Mr. Nintendo right now.
All
right. Okay. As far as weaknesses for the fairy flying type, you will have 5. You will have electric, ice, poison, rock, and steel. As far as resistances, it actually has 4, which is a lot. Grass, fighting, bug, and dark. And it is 4 times resistant to fighting and bug. And then as far as immunities, wait, there's more.
But wait, there's
Billy
more.
May's voice. Wait, there's more. It has immunities to ground and dragon type. So
which
is pretty fleshed out typing.
Yeah,
I love this.
That's actually really good, because some of your stronger attacks are dragon and ground type attacks. So that's pretty good for having them as immunities.
Yeah. Is it 4 times weak to anything?
No, it's not 4 times weak to anything.
Okay.
But it is 4 times resistant to
another plus. Another win for the cherubs.
Yeah. Although Bug isn't really the strongest competitive type Pokemon, so
I will not take Shuckle slander in this household.
No, we all love Shuckle. I'm just saying that.
And Snom. And Seawaddle. There are so many
cute
that
bug
you
types.
Need to stop slandering.
I'm not slandering. I love them.
I don't want a Snom infestation for us. Actually, that would be adorable.
Okay, Madeline. Let's get into the Pokemon. Can you guess what's the first fairy flying Pokemon of all time?
Taxidermied Cupid.
No.
Okay. Altaria.
No.
Really?
Nope.
There's one before that?
It's not even. fairy flying. It's dragon flying.
Oh. My bad.
You're thinking of its mega, because its mega is dragon.
Fairy dragon.
Yeah,
right.
Fairy dragon. But
okay,
yeah.
my apologies. Why don't you go ahead and tell me?
It is
Togepi.
Not Togepi.
Kiss.
Togetic.
Oh.
You were close.
Yeah.
Togetic was introduced in Generation 2, and it is known as the Happiness Pokemon, which I thought was really, really cute. And it evolves from one of Madeline's all-time favorite Pokemon, which is Togepi. When its friendship level is very high, and it's leveled up once after that. Madeline, I know you love Togepi, but what are your thoughts / experiences with Togetic?
Well, my thoughts on Togetic. I like the evolution mechanism. It's like you gotta be friendly to your little Togepi until it becomes happy and becomes a happiness Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's adorable. Heartwarming. I love it.
I remembered watching the Pokemon anime when I was a little kid, but
that
only...
That was what I was about to say for my first encounter with Togepi, was watching Misty.
Exactly, exactly. I also was more familiar with the Kanto Pokemon, and I only really watched the Generation 1 anime. But I do remember that Togepi was in there, and I was really confused when I, like, bought myself, like, a little Pokedex book or whatever when I was in third grade.
Where is it?
Yeah, I was like, where's Togepi? And it just didn't appear, but whatever. And at some point, I realized that Misty's Togepi did evolve into Togetic, but I never got around to actually seeing that. I didn't know that it could evolve.
Yeah, so actually, my experience with Togetic, I love Togepi. Collect in every game that I can collect it in.
Mm-hmm.
In Pokemon Go, I caught Togetic, I think, before Togepi. Or maybe no. No, Togepi was only hatchable. So yeah. Then Togetic was spawning in the wild, which was pretty big because it was like the first time you could see that line in the wild.
Right.
And that actually could be shiny after a while. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. Which was also slightly a bummer because then for Community Day, all the wild spawns. So
with
I almost didn't get a shiny Togepi. Actually, I didn't at all. Santiago traded me one. Bless him. But
Yeah. Because the only way you can get Togepi is by hatching it.
Right. And so for the Community Day, they're not going to bring out the babies to the wild spawns, right. Unfortunately. So what you're going to start is at the middle stage. So if you want the full line shiny, you would have had to hatch.
Yeah. Which is a huge
problem. Which is left up to chance. So, yes, I have caught a lot of Togetics in my lifetime.
Yeah. I actually liked the Togetic Community Day just because you could get extra candy and it had a higher chance for XL candy. So I was kind of happy because, like, now I have...
Yeah. I just don't love the way they do the baby mechanisms for the Community Day.
No,
they
totally
should at least put
totally
in research
understand.
Or something, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It needs to be more available. I mean, it does, like, the eggs have a higher chance of dropping it, but, like, still, too loosey-goosey for me.
Right. No, I totally get what you're saying. But, yeah, I wish Togepi had either a higher chance of getting a shiny or, just could spawn the wild.
As far as Togetic, there is the Flower Crown one available, and that is adorable, and I love it. Mm-hmm. I will say that the design of Togetic is not as cute as its predecessor and descendant. Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is
it's the
a
ugly
general...
middle child evolution,
exactly.
Which is kind of standard
the
for
child,
the earlier gens, I feel like.
It is the middle
so.
Stage, with most middle stage evolution.
It's the teenager. Were you cute as a teenager? Yes.
No, I was butt ugly.
Was I cute as a teenager?
Yes.
No.
You were adorable.
No, I was had a very greasy face, an awkward face, would only wear boy clothes, and
Bro.
Didn't brush my hair.
Bro, I spiked up my hair when I was a teenager.
Yeah, you styled your hair too much, and I styled my hair too little, and thankfully it's evened out now.
Yeah, now I don't brush it out at all.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe you just swung the other way.
Yeah.
That
all
doesn't
right.
bode well for our marriage.
No. All right, so Togetic, what do you think it's based on, or what do you think its lore is?
Oh, I have no idea. Definitely some kind of fairy angel situation. I'm wrong.
Well, you're going to be really disappointed because it doesn't actually have that much inspiration. Because, okay, so...
It's an original.
Yeah.
It's an original.
Okay, okay, that's a good way.
I kind of like that, Pokemon without lore.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. But yeah, according to my sources, it's just based on baby birds and eggs.
Hmm.
Because, like, it's pre-Evo. Togepi is just based on... Just a little critter.
Well, that makes sense. It's like wearing an eggshell.
Right. It's a little critter that just hatched out of an egg, and it was just too lazy to fully come out of the egg, right?
Yeah. No animal or mythology behind it. Just
and then Togetic. And then Togetic is like some type of bird, but it more or less just fused with the egg. That's why it still has that pattern and everything.
Right.
But other than that, yeah, you're right. It's a Pokemon original. No.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't think about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Not a lot of inspiration, just a guy.
It's
just
a little
Pokemon.
Guy. Just a little guy. Just a little guy. Anyways, on with the next Pokemon. The next Pokemon with the fairy flying type is comes actually two generations later.
Wait,
yeah.
What about Togekiss?
It still comes two generations later because Togetic.
Oh, so Togetic, we are.
Yeah, Togetic came out in Generation 2 and Togekiss can't wait. Togetic came out in Generation 2, and Togekiss came out in Generation 4.
Wow. Okay.
And
at first, I thought you were about to gloss over my girl.
No. Togekiss is incredible. And you know what it's called? Or you know what it's categorized as?
Adorable.
I wish it was categorized as the adorable Pokemon. No. It is categorized as the Jubilee Pokemon.
Oh. Okay, that makes sense. You go from happiness to Jubilee.
Right,
it become
right.
the Euphoria Pokemon, but I don't think they want to design that much eyeliner onto it.
Right, that's or just have it like be some kind of drug addict.
Right.
But yeah, so Togekiss, a.k.a. the Jubilee Pokemon, is the evolved form of Togetic, and it can evolve from Togetic when it's exposed to a shiny stone. Thoughts and experiences with Togekiss. Madeline.
I will say it's interesting that Togetic is the happiness, and then Togekiss is the Jubilee Pokemon. So it seems like it's not the happy Pokemon and the jubilant Pokemon. So it's like it brings happiness and jubilee to other people.
Yeah.
Because it's not the adjective. It's more of like a noun plus the Pokemon name.
I am horrible with
I'm going to say, if anyone says English as a second language, you're probably going to be lost at that point. Sorry. Well, back to the Pokemon.
All right. So, I am a big fan of most of the Pokemon that they introduced in Generation 4 because a lot of them were evolutions to previously neglected Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And when I saw Togekiss, I was like, dude, this is an upgrade.
I really like it, yeah. I do like that they kept the classic Togepi pattern.
Yeah.
No crazy switch there. The color scheme is basically the same. It really just morphed shape-wise mm-hmm. throughout the generations or throughout the evolution stages. And I like it. I like that consistency. And it's also strong.
Yes.
It's a good Pokemon.
Absolutely.
It's a good typing and it's a good Pokemon.
Absolutely. Like, once it evolves, this thing got, like, a sizable stat increase.
Togepi has entered the arena.
Right. And it's actually very threatening. So, what do you think are its lore? What is its lore?
We'll be back after a quick break.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At the Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out the Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
It's a kite. No?
Kite the bird? Or
it looks
kite?
Like a kite.
Like a kite, like kite the toy.
The toy.
Actually, no. No. Oh. So, according to the same sources that I got Togetix information from,
the voice
it has
in your head.
Yeah. It's got a little bit more lore. Togekiss is supposed to be based on a combination of birds, such as the snowy owls, duh, they're white, and doves, right? Because
okay, so it's based on Madeline, duh, she's white.
No, so snowy...
That's a very loose, like...
Okay.
It doesn't look like an owl at all.
No. But doves are supposed to represent peace and happiness and stuff like that.
I do buy that one.
Yeah. So
I don't buy snowy owls. That's weird.
Okay. Well, that's what the source said.
Source, okay.
Anyways.
The sock puppet in your closet.
Okay. Anyways, Togekiss's lore states that it brings blessings and happiness to people. So it's also stated that it might be based on angels. You know, I don't know.
That's what I brought up for the first one. So
yeah, so you know, it might.
Always on the right.
They look angelic.
They absolutely do.
So
and they have like swirlies on their design.
Okay. Oh yeah.
On the wings of Togekiss.
Yeah, they do have that swirl design.
Structurally, not like pattern.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so they're angelic Pokemon based on doves, bring happiness and.
They're just pure little beings of light.
Right. So the fairy type is absolutely perfect for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
All right.
Tell me what I haven't known. Like,
oh, yeah. What you haven't known? Oh, let me talk to you about abilities. What do you think their abilities are?
You got me there. Wow. I was just talking about didn't know that fairies are perfect. You had to really just humble me like that. Abilities? Levitate. Because
no.
It's flying type.
No. Flying type. Well...
Blind type automatically has ground immunity. It wouldn't levitate.
Yeah, it wouldn't need levitate.
Okay. Charm. I know that's its fast move. Okay, anyways.
No, so it's so both Togetic and Togekiss have the same two common abilities. The first one is Hustle, and the second one is Serene Grace. And its hidden ability is Super Luck. So what Hustle does is that it boosts the user's attack by 50% at the cost of lowering its accuracy of only its physical type moves. But this is not a really good ability because both Togetic
accuracy as far as you hit. Does that like add on?
No, it's only like per move. So like let's say you have a 100% accurate move, right? Its accuracy goes down to 80% once.
And then if you use it again?
It's still 80%.
Okay.
It doesn't stack on.
Hmm.
But
so only your first move is going to be double or like one.
No. All of your physical moves are increased in power by 50%.
But your accuracy
is always 20%
lower after the second move.
No, it's oh my god. Anyways, what I'm trying to say is that this is not a good ability because both Togetic and Togekiss are special attackers, not physical attackers, and Hustle only boosts the power of physical type moves. So it doesn't really matter.
Wait, going back, if a Pokemon has an ability mm-hmm. that makes its accuracy less, mm-hmm. it will just always be less.
Yes,
it's so. So why is that? Like, that doesn't seem like a trade-off there. So you don't want a Pokemon with that ability, basically.
No, not really.
I was gonna say that doesn't seem like a good ability in any like way.
The only time when it was actually useful was like the ability Hustle was in Generation 8 with Durant, because Durant had the ability Hustle, and when you Dynamaxed it, all the moves could not miss. So Hustle did boost the attack of boost the power of its attacks without.
Oh, without compromising the
accuracy. Yeah, without compromising the accuracy.
Understood. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. I just needed some clarification there.
But like I said, it doesn't matter for Togepi or Togetic.
So what's the other move?
So the other ability is Serene Grace. And this is a good one. This is probably...
That sounds like my grandma's name.
Serene Grace.
Not really, but like a grandma's name. Serene Grace.
Yeah, it does. Like a southern grandma.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A white lady.
Anyways.
Low-key racist, but she makes really good sweet tea.
I don't know if that would be my favorite grandma.
I can excuse bad sweet tea, but I draw the line. Wait, I can excuse racism, but I draw the line at bad sweet tea.
For those of you that don't know, that is from a show called... No, that's a line from the show Community.
I'm sorry, that was not an actual representation of my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Disclaimer.
Anyways, what Serene Grace does is that it doubles the chance of a move's additional effect of occurring. So one of the more popular moves that Togekiss has is Air Slash.
Mm.
Air Slash has normally, under normal conditions, has a 30% chance to flinch an opponent, right? If it moves faster, right? Because mm-hmm. if it moves afterwards, it doesn't really matter. But if it has Serene Grace, that is doubled. It's no longer 30% chance to flinch. It is 60% chance to flinch. So you have more than half the time you can actually finish your opponent if you're faster than them.
But only if you have that move.
Yeah.
That ability. So you would need that combination.
Yeah.
Which you should TM the move. Or
yeah, which Togekiss, I think it learns Air Slash.
Like immediately.
Via level up, yeah.
But
even if it doesn't, yeah, it could be TM'd. But what I'm saying is that there are a bunch of moves that have additional effects that it could use, like Headbutt, right? It also has I think, 30% chance of flinching. Mm. I think that Togekiss has Headbutt as well, but it doesn't matter.
But that won't be boosted by that ability.
It would be, but what I'm saying is that it's a physical type attack, and it doesn't matter because Togekiss isn't that good of a physical attacker. It's a better special attacker.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah. Anyways.
Sorry, we were talking strategy.
Anyways, and its last ability, which is its hidden ability, is Super Luck. This increases the chance of the user's move to be a critical hit, meaning the move will do more than double damage. It just increases the critical hit ratio. But, yeah. But out of all those three abilities, Serene Grace is probably its best one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that does it for that line. And up until very recently, they were the only two Pokemon that had the fairy flying type.
Right. It was a very quality over quantity typing, for sure.
Yeah.
And all of that changed when Enamoritus attacked.
Dang, yeah. So Enamoritus was introduced in Generation 8.5?
It's one of those, like, that blurs the lines between gens, kind of like Melmetal.
Yeah, it really is.
Where did you come from?
Right.
We haven't gotten the full lore of it.
Right, so Generation 8 started out with Sword and Shield, and then they had their DLCs, right? And then we thought, okay, well, we're done with this. We're going on to the next generation.
Case closed.
You thought wrong, because then they gave us Pokemon Legends Arceus, which wasn't a real mainline game, but it had...
it's still canon.
Yeah, it's still canon. It still brought us new Pokemon, and it did have, like, a full-on story, like a mainline game.
But it brought us into this new area of Pokemon where we are in a different time.
Yeah.
So that kind of puts the generation, or that segment of the game, into its own Jen
little
to speak.
Yeah, it was a weird one.
Still trying to make sense of it in my head, but it's really cool.
Yeah,
I loved it. Everyone loved PLA.
Yeah.
Well, not everyone. There are haters.
There were, but we all liked. Well, I liked PLA.
I enjoyed.
You liked PLA.
As far as
I liked most of the new Pokemon that they brought, and Amoros was just not one of them.
No, you're right. It got a lot of criticism when its design was unveiled.
Yeah. So.
It's ugly.
Enamorous is known as the love-hate Pokemon, which is, I think, very funny because there's a lot of people that either love it or hate it. Love to hate it or love it or hate it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So before its introduction, we had what's known as the Forces of Nature trio, those being Landorus, Thundurus, and Tornadus.
Yes, and they had two forms each.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was already a lot.
Yeah, they either look like these three genie-looking dudes, or
they're in their incarnate form.
Yeah, that's when they're in their incarnate form. Or if you showed them this item or whatever, it's called the Revealing Glass, they would go to their Therian forms.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool.
Which I honestly thought it should be for reverse. Like, the more beast on all fours should be incarnate form than the other. But that's not how it is.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But anyways.
So I'm just saying it's already very fleshed out. So they didn't need to bring Enamorous into this.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they did.
Yeah, so once they introduced Legends of Arceus, they became the Forces of Nature trio to the Forces of Nature quartet. But like the other three, Enamorous also has an incarnate and a Therian form. Its incarnate just looks like a female genie on a cloud. And its Therian form looks like a turtle on a cloud.
So what happened to it? Did they explain in the
lore
why it doesn't exist anymore?
You know, I never fully finished. Yeah, I never got to the part where
Hisuian Hisuian forms of Pokemon.
But this is not a Hisuian form. This is just a Pokemon that, for some reason,
it died history out or something.
The history forgot, honestly, because this takes place in the past.
Right.
And, you know, Black and White, where it's the
like
others.
You don't see it in the future.
Yeah, I guess history just forgot it.
It died out.
Yeah, something happened. But I never actually caught it because it was kind
of
difficult.
Well, the Hisuian forms are really just like ancestors of existing Pokemon.
Exactly.
So I'm just saying like this one didn't continue its line somehow because it was ugly.
It died because it was ugly.
It was so ugly. All of the Enamorous died.
Since you don't have much experience with this Pokemon, By choice. What do you think its origins and inspiration is based on?
Cupid, Valentine's Day,
nope.
Love, a genie, a love genie, genie in a bottle, Christina Aguilera.
It's based on Christina Aguilera, absolutely.
There we go, I got to it.
So Enamorous actually draws inspiration from a lot of different mythologies.
Okay.
So according to Bulbapedia, one of its inspirations
to the voices in Santiago's head.
One of the inspirations is a deity in Japanese mythology named Ugajin? Which is the deity of harvest and fertility. But the thing about Enamorous is that it's based on multiple different deities, right?
Starts playing trombone. Or saxophone, whatever it is.
Another deity that it could be based on is Manasa, which is the Hindu goddess of snakes, fertility, and prosperity. And finally, it could also be based on the Mesopotamian goddess of love, war, and fertility, Inanna, which is also sometimes known as Ishtar. I feel like I've heard the name Ishtar before.
Inanna?
Yeah, Inanna.
What's the name?
Inanna.
What's my name?
Inanna.
It's like Rihanna.
Oh, like Rihanna's. Okay.
Rihanna's song where it's like,
sorry.
Oh, Nana, what's my
yes,
name?
Yes,
sorry.
That went over my head for a second.
That's okay.
But anyways, so yeah, what I'm saying is that a lot of its mythologies that it seems to be based on has something to do with being a deity of fertility. Which I think is really...
First one was a Japanese lore or mythology?
Well, the first one I read about was
right.
a Japanese one,
yeah,
and then a
I
Hindu, and then a Mesopotamian.
You know, we see so many Pokemon with lore rooted in Japanese mythology. I almost wonder if, like, the developers
Pokemon
of the game had some kind of connection
or
heritage in that region.
You think the developers might have, like, lived in Japan or somewhere?
Wow, that's crazy.
But yeah, so fertility seems to be like a recurring theme.
Yeah, which is why I brought in the Marvin Gaye little saxophone song.
But I think it's I think it's kind of ironic that it's
it died out.
Yeah, it died out. Right.
It wasn't fertile. It was too busy blessing fertility to everyone else.
That's what I'm saying.
Reproduce itself.
History forgot about it, and it was.
So did all the other enamorous because it did not reproduce.
All right.
Not even the dittos would touch it, man.
So that's just its incarnate form, right? Its genie looking form.
Oh.
But there is a little bit of lore behind its
actually,
Therian.
Didn't realize it had another form.
Yeah. You know.
That would make sense.
Yeah. Like all the other genies have a Therian form. So this one also has a Therian form.
Yeah.
But it's the
and
Therian
not a
forms,
Riz form.
And all of their Therian forms have like a mythological connection, right? So in Chinese mythology, and I thought this was really, really cool. So in Chinese mythology, there's these deities known as the four symbols, the four gods, the four guardians, etc., right? And they're these creatures that appear in the constellation, and they're supposed to be seen as benevolent guardians, protecting their part of the world, right? Mm. North, east, south, and west.
Okay.
And the creatures of these mythologies are a tiger, a dragon, a bird, and a turtle. Does that sound kind of familiar? No?
Sounds like Chinese zodiac.
Well, almost. But no. So all the Therian forms So all of the Therian forms take form of one of... Like one of those genies... So those genies take up one of those forms, right? So Landorus is a tiger. Tornadus is a bird. Thundurus is... Okay. It's supposed to be a dragon. It doesn't really look that much like a dragon. But Enamorus is the turtle.
Oh!
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I didn't ever.
So that's what the Therian forms are supposed to represent. They're supposed to represent the four.
Yeah.
So I guess it makes sense why they added enamorous only for the Therian part. The genie form, I don't care about it. But yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm currently Googling enamorous forms so I can look at what this looks like because I knew this one.
Yeah.
Oh, Therian is
like a turtle.
Better, but still not. I don't love this.
Yeah.
It also kind of reminds me of the story of, like, the fox and the scorpion or whatever, where it's, like, the snake is riding on the turtle's back.
Oh, you're talking about the frog and the scorpion.
Yes, that.
Yeah. No, totally get that, yeah.
But no.
But yeah, I actually like the lore behind the Therian forms for all four of them, you know, because without
yeah, that is, I like that.
Yeah. Anyways.
It makes them slightly more redeemable.
Redeemable. All right. So ability time. So the incarnate form has two different abilities. Its common one is cute charm and its hidden is contrary. So cute charm, what it does is that if the user is hit with a contact move, there is a 30% chance that the opponent will become infatuated and not attack the user if it is the opposite gender. If the opponent is the same gender or non-gender, the ability will not activate, which... I mean, not many people use cute charm or attract.
But the thing about cute charm is if the Pokemon is blind, this will only work. If the Pokemon has eyes and can see enamorous, this is not going to work because it's ugly. Yeah. That's actually not true, guys.
All right. So its second ability, contrary, it's actually kind of a cool one. So stat changes that are done to the user are inverted. So if its stats are somehow lower, normally lowered, it's going to do the opposite, and it's going to boost those stats. So if it doesn't...
So inverted, like if its defense is lowered, now its attack will be lowered instead?
No. So if its defense is lowered...
It'll be like reversed.
So it means that instead of being lowered, this defense is going to go up.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
If it raises its attack, then its attack is actually going to go down instead of...
Oh.
Yeah.
Can it work on multiple? Because you know how some stat changes make your like attack higher and your accuracy lower...
Yeah, actually
so
can.
So we do both.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There
going
are some Pokemon,
back to our little Togekiss there.
Yeah, there are some Pokemon that have contrary, and I think it's like, what is its stupid name? The squid Pokemon, the...
Tentacool? Malamar?
Malamar, yes. So Malamar has...
Wow, that's usually the other way around.
So it's so Malamar also has contrary, right? And it has this move called Superpower. And what Superpower does is it's a really strong move, but it lowers your attack and your defense by one stage.
Wow.
But
this sounds like Trick Room, but like even more meta.
Yeah, and so when you use
even more like on
Superpower,
a molecular level.
You do the move and your attack and defense actually go up instead of going down, which is...
Okay, that is really cool.
Yeah. But I haven't really used Enamorous for multiple reasons, so I'm not sure what moves it can take advantage of that.
So. I mean, I will say I have used ugly Pokemon before. I had a Flittle on my team before, and when it evolved, it was ugly, but it was good, so I kept it on my team. Mm-hmm. So I guess that would be my love-hate Pokemon, because I had a conflicting relationship with it.
Espathra is your...
Yes.
Not Flittle. You like Flittle.
I love Flittle, and I thought it was going to be cute when it evolved, and it wasn't, but it was really strong, mm-hmm. so I kept using it.
Gotcha.
And
gotcha.
I kind of warmed up to it because it was so good for me.
You're probably going to hate me for this, but I actually like Espathra.
I respect it, honestly.
Just because it's like an ostrich, but it's also got like ruffles and stuff like that. Its hair is like very Sia-like, you know, like the singer Sia.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like that.
I don't think I would have hated it so much if it wasn't that it evolved from such a cute little...
from the chandelier.
Yes. Yeah.
That girl.
I knew before, but thank you for the performance.
You're welcome. You've been blessed.
Save that for the bonus content.
All right. So let's see. So, oh yeah, right. So its Therian form also has a whole separate ability. Its Therian form just has one, which is Overcoat. And what Overcoat does is that it protects the user from damaging weather like hail or sandstorm. But as of Generation 9, it's only sandstorm because hail has been reworked into snow and no longer chips away at your health. But it also protects you from powder and spore type moves, making it so that moves like sleep powder or spore don't affect the user at all. And those normally put you to sleep, and mm-hmm. sleep is actually really annoying.
Yes, mm-hmm. sleep and being paralyzed and being confused.
Mm-hmm.
Infatuated, I feel like I haven't had as much problems with that. And poison.
Yeah.
Always gets me. I used to use a Vivillon, and I would always try to poison people or like infect them or whatever.
Infestation, yes.
Right.
Yeah. Anyways.
We'll do that in the other episode.
Yeah. Anyways, so on to the competitive side of things. How do you think they did?
Togekiss, I feel like, has probably been used all right. I don't know if it's really like a really strong contender. It's probably not an ace, but I feel like it's done okay. Mm-hmm. Enamorous, I'm going to say, is terrible because I want to be.
Well, you're not wrong. So Togekiss, let's see, since it was introduced in Generation 4, it has more history, right?
Yeah, it's seen its fair share of play. Right.
So let's see. In 2010, it was on two teams in the top 8. Mm-hmm. 2013, one team in the top 8. Mm-hmm. And in 2015, it was also on two of the top 8 teams.
Okay.
In 2016, it was only on one team. However, it did make it to the champions team on the juniors division.
Aww.
So, you know, it is technically a world champion.
Love that.
We love to see that for Togekiss.
How about after that? Did it kind of fade away?
After 2016, unfortunately, we haven't really seen Togetic in Worlds.
Well, the pool gets diluted as more gens go on. Right.
You get more Pokemon, you get stronger, power
meta
creep.
Meta changes.
But it's still respectable that it made it onto a few teams.
It's definitely had a good run, and I don't think we've seen the end of it.
Right, I think
I'm sure if the meta shifts again, it might come back into play.
Right.
That's just how Pokemon goes.
And we also have to remember that it wasn't available in every single generation upon release. Mm-hmm. Like Generation 7, it was in the game, but it wasn't part of like the decks.
Mm-hmm.
But once you could add more Pokemon later on with like the introduction of like Pokemon Bank or whatever, you could legally use it.
But Scarvy, I don't think it was available in Gen
Scarvy,
9.
No, it's not available at all in Gen 9.
Right.
So it could be doing well, but it's not there.
Well, I don't.
And lastly, Enamorous. It is a more newer Pokemon, and we couldn't really use it in Scarvy because...
Yeah. So it's had limited opportunities to be showcased.
Right.
Has it had any opportunities to be showcased?
It has, but it hasn't...
been showcased?
People try to test it out, right?
Okay.
It's a rare Pokemon. It's a little bit niche, in my opinion.
Good typing.
It's definitely a good typing, but I just think that people didn't really know how to use it. And when it was introduced, it was almost about the time when, Worlds was coming up. So most people went with what they knew was good. Like
right. Urshifu. Stick with what you know. Don't try to incorporate new Pokemon in last minute.
But yeah, I think it definitely has some potential just because it has two different forms. Like, what's his name? Landris has so much potential with its Therian form. It's always done really well.
Yeah.
Whereas Thunderous and Tornadus, they actually do better in its incarnate form, okay. But their Therian forms are also options if you want to go the more
bulky route.
Yeah, yeah. But incarnate form is definitely the way to go with those two.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'm interested to see how it plays out in the future then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Any final thoughts, Madeline, on this typing or just closing remarks?
I will say for a three Pokemon episode, that did take a while. So I'm sorry if you didn't.
Probably because we spent the first 10 minutes talking about about Sinnotaur.
Yeah, well, you know, that's important, so.
But I did like your hot takes on, well, I wouldn't even say they're hot takes.
They're hot takes for me because I don't love to complain about events like that. But they're not hot takes in the whole Pokemon Go community.
Oh, no. I was talking about, what's it called? Enamorous.
I thought we were talking about my hot takes on how Sinnotaur is kind of mid.
No. I think all Pokemon Go players complain about Pokemon Go.
They love
Go.
To, like, the fandom just, the player base just loves to complain.
Yeah.
But, like, that wouldn't be a hot take at all.
No, I'm general. Talking about Enamorous. But then again, I was like, wait a second, I don't even know if it's a hot take. I think a lot of people just don't like Enamorous.
We just don't like it. But I do see what you're saying about how it hasn't had time to, that it may have potential, but untapped.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, yeah, like Madeline said, those were the only three Pokemons with that typing, so that brings us to the end of our episode.
Yeah. Tell us how you feel about Enamorous.
Yes, please,
absolutely. I will not accept Togepi or Togekiss or Togetic slander, but please feel free to send them compliments.
I don't know if most people know this, but on Spotify, you can actually leave a comment.
I think I'm the only one who's commented on our videos.
Have you really?
Or our recordings. And Santiago never checks it, so I just reply to myself.
So if you have Spotify or you're listening to Spotify, this on Spotify, please leave us a comment.
And you have opinions that need to be heard.
Please.
I will hear them.
Yes, please tell us what you think about Togetic, Togekiss, and Enamorous.
I may not agree, but I will hear them.
But yeah, we'd still love to hear them.
I don't know about love, but I will hear them.
And as usual, please follow us on social media. We are on Instagram at the Dragon Dancers. Madeline, like always, has been pretty on top of.
We posted Spider Madeline today.
Yeah. You should definitely check out our latest post because we did post something about our Sinnotaur, and Madeline scaled a wall for the gram.
gotta catch them all, Santiago.
Yeah, she did it for the gram.
So yeah, have a good rest of the week or whenever you're listening to this.
Oh, snap. There's one more thing I forgot to mention.
What did we miss? But wait, there's more.
No, so later this week we will have a Pokemon Day. Yeah, so Pokemon Day.
Pokemon Direct for Pokemon Day on the
27th. Yeah, on the 27th. Absolutely.
Santiago is older than Pokemon.
Okay, I was born in 95. Pokemon came out in 96, so barely.
I'm 2 years younger than it.
Okay, whatever. Okay. Anyways, so the Pokemon Day Direct is going to be out in a few days. So yeah, please.
Black and white remakes, let us know your thoughts.
Yeah, please let us know your thoughts.
Pro, con, think they're rushed, let us know.
Just let us know your thoughts.
I don't understand the think they're rushed camp. You know how long ago that came? Pokemon Black and White came.
Anyways, so yeah, so if you can, leave us a 5-star review on whatever platform that you are listening to this podcast on, or give us a like because it helps us out tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, you guys have a wonderful rest of your day, and we will catch you guys in the next one. Bye.
Bye.